Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good morning, Found Church. It's great to be able to join with you today. We were meant to be with you in person, and obviously this was planned a few months before everything changed. But I want to say that it's a privilege to join with you today. We probably are with you in person in some ways. We're either watching with family or watching somewhere, nicking some Wi-Fi as we stay in a tent outside, depending on what the rules allow us to do. But we're going to be in the vicinity of where you are. It's been amazing to see. This is not the first time that I will have joined you in a Sunday service, because one of the great things of lockdown is we've been able to visit churches across the UK on a Sunday morning, as we've seen the amazing ways that churches have adapted. We've learned from you guys, and just want to say your team does an incredible job in putting all of this together. And, you know, we've learned, as I said, from what you guys have done and the way that you guys have done that. It's been one of the really encouraging parts of the whole of this last season has been to see the way that churches across the UK have adapted to the, you know, the changes in the regulations just pretty much overnight. And, you know, I'm so glad. I heard Nicky Gumbel say this recently, as everything has moved towards Zoom, that the Holy Spirit is not intimidated by Zoom. He's not confused by Zoom. I love that. And you know, I want to say he's not confused by online services either. So it's our prayer today that as we have the privilege to meet together online, that God will meet with us wherever we are today, in our homes or wherever you're watching from, whether it's a tent from the back garden or whether you're a living room or whatever. I just pray that God will meet with us and encourage us today. So let's just pray before we get into God's word. Father God, I thank you for the privilege of joining together online. Lord, I thank you for Found Church and for the way that you've helped them through this last season. Thank you for the blessing that they've been in our lives. And Lord, thank you for the example that they've been to churches across our country as well. And Lord, we just pray that as we open your word now, that you will speak into our hearts, that Father, we will hear from you, and that Lord, that you will challenge us to live in a greater purpose for you, in Jesus' name. Amen. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, and if you've got your Bibles, you can read along. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk, pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." I remember one night when we stayed in Larbert, and Tiff put our daughter to bed. She was much younger then, and she was saying her prayers, and she said this prayer: "I thank you, Lord, for this beautiful thing with custard in it that I got today from Asda." And she was talking about a custard donut that she'd had at lunchtime. I just thought she'd tasted and seen that it was good. And, you know, that's one thing that maybe we miss about living in Shetland is that, you know, we miss the bakeries, miss Greggs. I'm looking forward to having a Greggs. Probably had at least one by the time this goes out on a Sunday. But, of course, other bakeries are available. But Ariana had tasted and seen that this was good. And, you know, I'm so glad I've tasted and seen that God is good. It says in that passage, it says, "Since you have tasted that the Lord is good." I want to tell you this morning, his ways are good. His plans for you are good. He is good. I want you to taste and see that he is good. And you know, Peter says, as we come to him, he is building us as living stones into the house of God, with him as the cornerstone. You know, that's why church has never been about a building, but it's about the people that God is building. That's why over these last few months, church has still been the church, because it's not been about a building. And Peter writes these words. He says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possessions, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That you may. Found Church, I want to tell you this morning that there is a "that you may" written over your life. You are not saved to be silent. You were saved that you may declare the praises of God. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. I want to say we've tasted and seen that he is good. He is building us that we might declare the praises of our God. I want to tell you this morning there is a purpose to your life. You were made for a purpose, and that purpose was to live to glorify God, the one who is the cornerstone, the one who was and is, and who is to come. You know, lockdown and coronavirus, it's changed a lot of things potentially in our society going forward. But I'll tell you this, it has not changed your purpose. You know, over the last few months as a churches, our methods may have changed, but our mission and our message has remained the same. And I want us to keep in mind this morning this verse that says that you are a chosen people that you may declare. There is a reason over your life and my life today. You know, we all have the same purpose. But how that purpose is fulfilled will be different for you and I. For us, that purpose is to live in Shetland and to declare the praises of God through up here. For some, it may be to be working in a care home. For others, in a dental surgery. We had a guy share his testimony on our live stream just a few months ago. And he says, from a young age, I knew I was called to be a doctor. I love that. He knew the sense of call on his life. That was how he was to live out the purposes of God. I've often said that I would love a version of Acts chapter 13:36 written on my gravestone. Quite a morbid thought, but it says this. Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. And I want it to be said in my life that when John had served the purposes of God in his generation, that he fell asleep. I do not want to miss my "that you may" written across my life. And you know, keeping this idea of purpose in mind, I want to share three keys to living on from a picture of my boat. Now, I'm down here today at the harbour. Now, my boat is normally kept here. It's kept just out of shot over that direction, but it's not there today. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that and why that has been. You see, what happened is when we moved up here, I took ownership of a boat. It's called the Reward. It used to belong to my grandfather, who's now in his 80s, and just felt it was time to hand over captaincy of the Reward to the next generation, or a generation after that to come. And so he's probably lost a lot of sleep as I've tried to get to grips with looking after this boat and trying to, you know, go out and sail it. And I've had some amazing times out there. In fact, I would say one of my happy places is on these flat, calm days like it is today. We don't get all that many of them in Shetland. But being out and it's the light hits the water, it's flat, calm, catching some mackerel out there. The other week we were out, we saw a whale. It was amazing. It's brilliant. As I said, that is my happy place. But as I said, I want to share three keys about that picture of my boat that will hopefully challenge us today to live that you may over our life. And the first one is this. To live a life of purpose, you need to be launched. You see, I'm here, but my boat isn't. And the reason for that is that my boat is currently sitting on a trailer in my driveway. Now, my boat wasn't made for that. My boat was made to be on the sea. It has engines that only work when they're in the sea. It was designed to stay afloat. It has all the potential, but it's sitting in the driveway. And there's two reasons for that, and we'll come to them in a moment. But this is a picture, I believe, of many people's lives. It's that it's not that they don't have a purpose, because they do, but it's that they are not launched into that purpose that they have. You have all the potential to do great things for God. You have all the potential to be someone who declares the praises of God, but you're still sitting in the driveway. You know, maybe of that being the declaration, like it said, to declare the praises of God, that you may declare. Maybe you're declaring something else through the way you're living your life. Maybe you're declaring the praises of something else, whether that be a relationship, a job, your success. There's many things that might be the declaration over your life. But as I said, you were made to live lives that declare the praises of God. It's the purpose of us as Christians. And maybe today you've been watching this and you're not a Christian. Then we want to invite you to make that decision to welcome him into your life, that you may declare the praises of him also. You know, there can be lots of reasons for not launching. But I felt challenged to tell you today, don't hold back. Launch into all he has for you. I love how Romans 8 puts this in the message. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us. Nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. Living out the purposes of God, there are things to do, there are places to go. Let's not live lives that sit in the driveway, but let's launch into all God has for you. This life that God has for you is a purpose placed on your life, and it's the adventure of faith. One thing that's evident from the news today, and we see it all the time, is that people are desperate for a cause to live for. And as Christians, we have the greatest cause ever that we can live for. I wonder today, are you going to live down to your comfort or are you going to live up to your calling? One of the great challenges of the last few months is that it's been so easy as a Christian to become a consumer rather than a contributor. You see, a lot of the areas that we served in before, if you were on a welcome team or, you know, if you served in kids ministry or youth ministry or whatever it is, you know, there's so many areas that we outwork our service, that we outwork our that you may in, that's not been possible over the last few months. And you know, I've got to admit, Sunday mornings have become a bit of a guilty pleasure for me because, you know, you end up getting up a little later, we pray with our team, but, you know, I sit down and watch church the same way. I don't have to go and set up like we do normally, and you guys do as well. But there's something of that, you know, you can sit down with your popcorn and your onesie, and maybe you are, shout out to anybody who's wearing their onesies this morning, but you know, you can sit down and you watch the service. In fact, if you're really holy, you can sometimes watch three or four services on a Sunday. I know some of you guys have been very kind with your encouragement to us about watching our service up here. But what happens is that we can think that we've watched our service, so therefore we've done our God part. We've done our part as Christians. And what can really be like is that we can end up being a little bit like people who consume a lot but never work it off. And actually that's a challenge I feel that as we head into the new season of church to raise back up and to become that we might live our that you may over our lives again. You see, our purpose for the people of God is not to be consumers. Our purpose is that we may declare the praises of him. And so I pray that we will launch into all that he has for us. The second thing, to live our purpose, you need to be anchored. You need to be anchored. Now, as I said, my boat used to be anchored just out there. But what happened was that this here is called a voe, or an inlet is probably what you would mostly call it. But they call it a voe up here. And my boat is sheltered up here for 6 months of the year. It's insured, it's allowed to be in the water for 6 months. But the weather can get quite violent, the wind can get quite violent. And what happened was that over the winter, the buoy that my boat was attached to ripped away from its moorings. And so we can't find the mooring anymore. The wind and the waves were so violent that the mooring actually detached from the concrete and block and metal chain that was underneath. And you know, that can be a picture of many people's lives over this last season of life. You know, the things that people were anchored to, if they were anchored to their finances, their jobs, their health, their own strength and ability. And you know, I'm not minimizing these things because these are all so important. But actually, some of those have taken a real battering over the last few months. And if that's where our life was anchored, then that's a real challenge for us today. But our lives as Christians are not meant to be anchored on our temporary circumstances here in the world. Our lives are meant to be anchored in him. And I want to say that if our lives are anchored in him, then that is a sure foundation. That's a place that will not get ripped away when the wind and the waves come. I read a story the other week about a shipwreck off the coast of Cornwall. And it was a 15-year-old who swam to a rock after the boat had gone down. He swam to a nearby rock and he stayed there overnight. And in the morning he got picked up. And while he was cold and shivering, a reporter came up and spoke with him. And he asked, "You must have been shaken all night as you clung to that rock." "Yes," the young sailor replied. I trembled all night with fear and with cold, but the rock never trembled once. And I love that. The rock never trembled once. You see, other things might move. Other foundations and anchors that we have in our lives might move. But the rock, Christ Jesus, will never tremble once. He is a sure foundation that we can live our lives upon. I love how it says, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. We have a God who will not let our foot slip. When we are anchored in him, our foot will not slip. Those who are anchored in him are secure. I love how the Apostle Paul, he goes through some incredible challenges, and we read of them in the New Testament. But in Philippians, he talks of the challenge and he says, I count it all joy. Why? Because although he went through challenges, his life was not anchored in his external circumstances, but his life was anchored on the rock that will not move. You know, recently we've had somebody in our church who's gone through the immense challenge. They received some news just the other week. And it's been so encouraging talking with them as a Christian. Why? Because their lives are anchored, not in their temporary circumstances. We're talking with them as a husband and a wife. And the husband said this to me. He says, you know, death has lost its sting. And they're staring down the barrel of that. And so it's one thing saying that when life is okay. It's another thing saying that when that's a very real picture of what potentially could happen in the future. They were asking if the husband had asked the wife if she was angry at God for what had taken place. And she says, I'm not angry. How can I be angry? That would be like being angry with my arm. God is part of who I am. And, you know, it was just amazing to hear how they've been going through this whole challenge of health. And I want to say that living launched and anchored in him is how we live out our that you may over our lives. In order to live this life of purpose, I challenge you this morning, Found Church, live a life that is launched and live a life that is anchored. And finally, to live out your purpose, you need to be empowered. You need to be empowered. The final reason why my boat is not down here is because the trailer tire was so flat that it couldn't even make the seal. Something over the winter, it's got a slow puncture. And I tried everything I could to think of to try and get the seal created so that I could pump up the tire so that somebody with a tow bar could move the boat down and launch it. And what happened was that I was talking with a friend of mine, and he says he'd seen this cool trick. I think he'd seen it on Top Gear, but he says that the Icelandic folk, they do it as well. And what they do is that they put a flammable liquid round the tire, and it creates a kind of well in the bottom. And I'm just warning you here, do not try this at home, right? But it creates a flammable kind of seal around your tire, and then you light it, and it pops the tire back out. It creates almost like a minimal explosion on the inside that pops it back out and creates that seal again. So me, being a professional Muppet, thought that I would give this a try. And as you can see from the video, it actually worked with minimal fire damage. But there was this thought that came to my mind as I was thinking of this, that in order for our lives to declare fully the greatness of God, then we need to be empowered and we need to be full of the fire of God. I wonder this morning, I think this could be a picture of our lives. Are we empowered by the Holy Spirit? Has the Holy Spirit, Lord, empowered us to be all that we can be? In Acts chapter 1, it says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, that we may declare who he is in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In that power, I'm told the Greek word of that is dunamis, which means explosive power. It's where we get the word dynamite from and where we get dynamic from. So there's this explosive power that can be yours and ours if we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And to live out the purposes of God, we need that fire of God in our lives today. Yes, we need to be Christians, but let me say this, we also need to be filled with this Holy Spirit that we might declare who he is to a world that needs it. And you know, today I want to say, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be a witness for him. You can be empowered for that purpose, that you can live a life that declares the praises of God. I want to ask you this question. Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you being filled with the Spirit? Because that's actually what it's saying. It's not just a one-time thing, but it's a constant filling of the Holy Spirit, that we might be effective in this world. I wonder if, like that tire that had gone flat, that you need a fresh infilling, a fresh empowering of his Holy Spirit today. So this morning in wrapping up, I want to remind you that you are made with a purpose, that you may declare the praises of him. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. What a privilege. I've tasted and I've seen that he is good. You know, today is not about stories of a boat. It's just pictures that I pray will help realize that there's a "that you may" written across your life, that you are made for a purpose. I want to ask you this morning, have you launched into all that he has for you? Are you anchored in him? Have you been filled with the Spirit, or are you being filled with the Spirit? Are you flat, or are you empowered to be all that he wants you to be? We're going to pray this morning.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.